What's up, guys? Hilliard Guest here. Just want to let you know we have a little disclaimer at the end of this episode. There was a little mishap on my end, so we lost just the little tag when everybody was giving their emails and their Twitter handles and all that. So please find me, Hilliard Guest, on Twitter, Lisa Bolacaja on Twitter. You can also find our guest, Todd Nunez, on Twitter, and Jessica Cameron, of course, on Twitter and her website and everywhere else. All right? Peace, you guys. Love you.
Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark. Can you build the inferno from an itty bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers rise with the cream. A million other writers, same Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper, all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel. We gotta keep it real.
In the red room,
all about the crap of screen.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, Lisa? Why are you looking at me all crazy?
2016 just needs to end. It just needs to be over. We only got a couple more months. But 2016.
Really, I think the world's going to explode on November 9th. November 9th, it all comes to that.
Stick his hand in it.
It's I'm Canadian. Y'all are fucked.
Are you Canadian? Oh, my God. Can we come with you? Can I come in your suitcase?
I mean, I'm not sure how many people I can fit in my trunk. I stopped at counting at 100 people who are like, can we come with you? And I'm like, I make no promises.
Good Lord.
So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that.
Yes.
So you guys hear her voice.
Mm-hmm.
My girl, Lisa Bolacaja.
A.K.A. hashtag Sad Lisa.
Sad Lisa today.
Because I just have to put this out there, fam. Because I posted up on Twitter and I was sad. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for a whole year, mm-hmm. I have been waiting for the brand new Shin Godzilla movie.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm.
So, because you know, Godzilla is my monster boo mm-hmm. since I was a wee lass. So I've seen like every single one, American versions, Japanese versions, Total Monster Island, all of it.
I love Monster Island.
Yes. All of it.
There you go.
You know, all the kaiju.
Yes.
So, you know, and I like the new, I don't know if you guys saw the pictures, the brand new Godzilla, and he's like, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it. Have you seen
awesome. So they only had a few screenings because this is like, I guess it's like an independent film that they put out in Japan to come out here. So I went and saw a screening in San Diego.
Okay.
Completely filled up. I mean, it was so filled up, I couldn't even get the liquor at the wine bar and get popcorn. I couldn't even get popcorn. The line was so long.
Really?
And I was like, shit, how am I going to sit here and not get my wine and my popcorn on?
For God's
sake. And literally, a dude,
you got to plan ahead and bring
it. Oh, my God. I should have. But then the thing was, it got so packed. Like, usually I can just get up and go in line. I was like, no, someone's going to, because I had the best seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had the leather seats that sit back. Yes. I'm like, if I get up, I didn't want to leave my purse. I had my Star Trek bag. And I'm not going to have, that bag would have been gone.
Yes.
So literally, this is how desperate I was. A dude sat next to me, had his popcorn. I was like, yo, if you don't finish all that,
respect.
And you're crying. I'm just saying.
And I said, are you here by yourself? He's here by himself. Mm-hmm. He had a big, large bag, and I know he ain't gonna eat all of it. I know he's not.
He's like, can I pour some in my lap?
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I wish it was like the one they go and come to have the waiter to come. So literally, I was that desperate. So, right. Great trailers, so you know when you got an amped mm-hmm. audience, and you know the real Godzilla head. So
she be going at midnight to everything.
So, yeah, the screening was like they only had one screening at one time, so I was like excited. I was there an hour ahead of time. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, that's,
Jesus!
There's a bottom lip quiver. You're not
good.
Like literally, my poor lip, like. 10 minutes in, my lip was quivering. I was about to cry. I was like, all this time, all my life, I had to fight to wait for this. But it was very disappointing. And the main thing was there were like way too many characters. Godzilla was fantastic. He looked amazing.
I disagree. I don't know. He had three stages.
You saw it?
I did see it.
Yeah.
The first stage looked like a joke. I was like, are we being punked right now?
It was evolutionary.
He had googly eyes.
I know he did. I was wanting to hang in there. I was wanting to hang in.
If you have $100 a day to pay an actor, you can afford to fix the goddamn googly eyes on your motherfucking Godzilla. I'm sorry.
The scientist in me was like, well, they're going. The whole point was they were doing like an evolutionary. So Godzilla, he was becoming Godzilla. He was evolving.
So it was an origin story.
He was evolving on land.
Like, he starts out as a giant monster, but he evolves into what you know as Godzilla.
He's like an amoebic blobby thing, kind of crawling on land, and then he eventually goes through these stages. And yeah, there was a googly eye, but I was willing to hang in there. Because when you are a faithful Godzilla fan, you're like, you know what? There's some things you'll let slide. But then after a while, it was like, I felt like he wasn't utilized enough. It was more like they were centered on characters and the politics and the people. And it wasn't, it's not so much the people too. You just weren't engaged. You didn't care about the people. And one of the great things about a really good monster movie, for all you horror writers out there, if I don't care about your characters, the emotional investment I'm making, like literally there are people getting killed, stomped over it, and I was sitting there like, can I get up and go get some popcorn right now? Because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to miss anything.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I could just get up right now, and I'm sure, but the part of me is like, no, because you know the moment you leave, Lisa, something good's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then nothing happened. And then
I know, right? And then you're like, later, mother,
I can get up now. Maybe I can get up now. By then I was like, shit. And then the dude ate all his popcorn. Like literally, he put the box down, and literally, I kind of like leaned over, and like there was nothing in the box.
And I was, he was like, "Fuck this movie, I'm eating popcorn."
So I'm very sad. It wasn't. It's sad when you're a writer and you watch it, because the first thing you're thinking, oh, you could have cut that. We could have focused on that character. Why didn't y'all waste? I was just sad. I was sad. So, you know what? Some people liked it. I remember walking out and people were like, oh, I really liked it. And it's got like a 7.3 or something on IMDb, which I totally think is inflated. But, I just felt sad.
Well, let me introduce the rest of the guests here today.
I loved it, though.
You loved it?
No, I loved the review.
Oh, good.
Right? I liked it, too.
See it? You know, it's fun, but it's like, aw.
Yeah. Well, we got my man here. Todd Nunes,
what's
you guys,
up,
writer, director, producer, horror. What's the word I can't say?
Horror aficionado.
Aficionados.
Is that the new Taco Bell?
As long as you keep saying it like that.
Hilarious. Todd Nunes, everybody.
All right.
Hey there.
And then we got my girl. We've been trying to get you on for a minute, and I finally was like, wait a minute, Halloween, girl.
I know. You got to come for Halloween.
Let's do it. Jessica Cameron, everybody, screen queen,
yes.
Writer, director, producer herself. You got to hear her story and how she made her two movies recently.
We'll get into it.
Yes. But you know, I have a deep love for scream queens.
Yes,
because one of my besties, Jaretta, is a scream. You know, just all those actresses that like bring joy to my heart in the horror movies. Because you know, to be a scream queen, you got to have like a certain talent and a skill. Not everybody. Could be a screen.
Who's the one you're working with in New Orleans? Who's that?
Oh, my favorite person. Oh, Jaretta. Well, you know, Jaretta. You know, she's the actress of Seven Demons, the old Italian horror. She's in all those Italian, like rats and demons and stuff. So, you know, so my love goes way back. So I'm always excited. And I'm so happy you're here.
Well, you look fabulous.
I feel like she got fancy for us.
She did. For a radio show. I know.
Todd knows me. He's actually seen me in this outfit once or twice. Like, this is my, I'm wearing like a little black dress, fishnets, and then just like a muumuu over it.
It looks amazing.
Well, thank you.
It looks amazing.
Like, easy. No. I don't know what to wear. I'm running late. I'm just going to throw this on. Because, like, you don't have to worry about the underwear. Like, you know how, like, some clothing, you're like, I can only wear certain underwear. This, I'm like, it don't matter. We're just going to make
Jessica
it work.
Always looks great when I see her. Yeah. Like, I'm always like, she's like a ball of sunshine, right?
It's a Canadian blonde. Just radiates out of my pores.
Yes.
So welcome to the show, you guys.
Well, thank you for having me.
But like I said, I was talking to Lisa. We, you know, every year we do a horror episode. I think last year we did it with Jeffrey Reddick.
Mm-hmm. Love that
guy. Well, damn it. We got to get Todd on. I was like, matter of fact, let's get Jessica on too.
Sometime soon, too.
He was going to come today.
Just won. He's in the middle of Shriekfest.
Yes.
Dead Awake. I can't wait to see it.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dead Awake.
He's doing great. He's doing great. Yeah, but he's been on like 5-6 times.
Oh, well, and, that guy.
He's like our cousin.
Yeah, yeah, that's my little cousin. Uh-huh. Even though he's older than me, he's just littler and shorter. But, and so we wanted to have you guys on the show, you know, and just like do an episode since we're coming up on a Halloween next week. You know, just talking about horror, you know, in all kind of ways, why we love it, mm-hmm. you know. But can we stop for a quick second?
Mm-hmm.
You just have to tell Lisa.
Yes.
Your story and how you made your
Please.
Two films on the road in the fucking RV.
You gotta hear this story. Like, it's cool.
It never gets awesome. Old, though.
It's this awesome.
This is too awesome.
So, obviously, I love independent horror films, and I make them, and I act in them, right? Yes. It's my biggest passion. So, I came up with this great idea for a movie. I wanted to do basically like a Henry Portrait of Serial Killer meets Thelma and Louise.
Mm-hmm. I'm sold.
Right?
Yeah, that's not bad. Isn't it?
Right?
Yeah. Popcorn
so,
now.
Right? Done. I'm okay. Your own bet.
Thank you.
What? So it turned into Mania, which is my fucked up lesbian love story. And because it's a road trip movie and it's crucial to the story that they travel across country because they're trying to get away from all this stuff that they're fleeing, I personally do not like when movies attempt to fake an audience by mm-hmm. like showing distance while like – walk, you know, driving around the corner in LA.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
you're like, that is LA.
They just keep doing
that
inserts.
Is not LA. Right, I'm right, like, yeah. as somebody who has lived all over the world, mm-hmm. I could tell you when you're just in LA around the corner.
Right.
That is not Utah, yep. Missouri. That is LA, my friend. Uh-huh. At least CGI at the palm trees. So,
okay.
So, independent, I was like, how the hell am I going to afford doing this? So I was like, oh, duh. Rent an RV, shove 10 filmmakers in there, call it a day. Right? Like, brilliance. We live, we film, everything's good. So then I was like, so I'm going to travel all over the country to make this movie. But I was like, well, we have to travel some distance. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to travel all the way across the country, get all the way across the country, have a movie done, and then be like, now what? We just drive back? So I was like, naturally, we should make 2 movies.
You know right? what? You, look, the hustle game is strong. You are like the old school, you know, the old school. Remember like the British
Corman?
Ones, Roger Corman, where they were like, look, bitch, we got the set here. We're going to use it again. Mm-hmm. We're going to make 3 movies mm-hmm. right now.
And you had our casting
okay.
crew
trapped. Okay.
I was like, yeah, you're okay. stuck. Where are you going to go?
Okay.
I'm not going to drive you to an airport. Like,
right.
no, where mm-hmm. we're traveling
right.
to the middle of America, most of those places don't have Uber.
Right.
Yeah, you're mine, bitch.
Mine, yeah. Yeah. So I was
the
like,
horror just got real. Like, I thought I was making a movie. This bitch has kidnapped me and won't let me go.
So then it's right around this point that most people are like, you're a little crazy. And I was like, yeah, just a little bit. And then enough of my filmmaker friends responded to me in the same manner. And that's a great idea, but it's also horrible. It's going to mm-hmm. be the biggest nightmare. But I don't want to be there with you because I feel like it's going to be the hardest thing ever. But I wish I could be. So right. you should just film it.
Right.
Because I want to watch this. I want to
so
watch
this. So
this
bitch, hold on. She's going to shoot 2 movies and do a documentary about the making.
I was about to ask you. Yep. I was about to ask you, like, did you do a documentary?
Yeah. yeah. So then, nice. And even better, we haven't. This is kind of like news. We've been flirting with telling people. We haven't told everyone. We had so much footage. Right? Because our actress was crazy and a bunch of other stuff happened. Of course, the actress on the RV for 23 fucking days uh-huh. is batshit motherfucking
okay.
crazy. Uh-huh. Drug addict. Guess uh-huh. what happened? Did not plan that. It's so funny because like people who like have seen the doc are like, you had to have planned this. This is perfect.
Yeah,
like you like
wow.
casted a reality show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nope, sure didn't. News to me.
Wow.
But we had so much great footage, we've turned it into a 21-30-minute episode.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can high-five you from across
okay.
the room, then
you know what?
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And, like, the people who watch it, because it tested the best of everything I've ever done. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, like, when you do a movie, I personally feel like I get too close to it. Mm-hmm. So and you either love or hate it, but right. you're so close to it, you can't really be objective, in mm-hmm. my opinion, as
right.
far as, like, what does the general population
right.
think?
Sure. Right.
So I always test it. I always have the same policy where I go out through mutual friends who are kind of friends, but they're not close friends. I'm like, who else do you know who does not know me?
Right.
I need, like, a random selection mm-hmm. of people, and I want to test it to them, because right. I don't want people biased, because, of course, my friends are going to love me, and they
yeah,
support everything
sure.
I do.
Yeah.
Or, like, some of the filmmakers who are my friends are jealous, and then they, like, kind of hate everything everybody does
right.
about theirs.
Right.
And I test it through the roof because everyone was like, oh my God, we can't believe you did this. Wow. This is great. Yeah, with non-filmmakers and filmmakers, because that was the other thing. I was a little bit concerned that it might be too like filmmaker specific. Mm. But the non-filmmakers just sort of see it as like a reality show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you've got the grumpy DP wow. who hates everything. You've got your horrible diva actress who's a nightmare. Mm-hmm. You've got your, you know, your weird sound guy. You have your... like all like these stereotypes where so you're like
accidentally y'all. Cast them. Yeah, right?
Exactly. Weird sound guy, check. Done.
Mission accomplished. Yes. And then we're all like, so we travel across the country filming two movies and a documentary, which would become a series. God. And everything that can go wrong, obviously, like independent mm-hmm. filmmaking, everything goes wrong, right? Like, you know, we're driving, we're like in the middle of nowhere. There's literally one, you know, it's Route 66 and there's one way to get somewhere and it's flooded. And we have to drive like 4 hours out of our way to like get back around.
Oh my God.
Right? Or like I kid you not, like our actor drives out like 5 hours. And we're like losing light and we're just trying to get all of our shots. And then we'd go to move his car and it won't start.
Oh,
and we're like so far in the middle of nowhere. Like we are like middle of nowhere. I don't even know where we were, New Mexico or something. At one point, like we're driving to get B-roll footage. And it was so funny. Like, so we location scouted through fans as well as like Google searches mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So we needed a church, a little small town church. And we're doing B-roll footage of just driving stuff. Right. And I'm like, wait a second, to the director. I'm like, isn't that the church in your movie? And I swear to God, it's like the picture-perfect small town. If you gave me $1 million, I would just build this. So I'm like, oh, we should, you know, there's all these no trespassing signs, but the door's open. And the gate's open.
They're inviting us, right? Practically.
I feel like that
it writes itself.
No trespassing
signs. Okay. Right, right, right.
We all go in to check it out, right?
Right.
So sure enough, this, like, angry-looking fellow in a pickup truck of some type pulls up.
What a pitchfork.
It's an abandoned New Mexico town. So he pulls up and I'm like, nobody say a thing. If anybody asks, we're a student film.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in and I'm like, hi, you know, we're just making a little student film here. He turned out to be the nicest man ever.
Aww.
Yeah. And by fluke, there was a storm and I guess they lost all their power. So mm-hmm. I was like, can I film there? He's like, we have no power. I was like, it's cool. We have an RV. There's a generator. And it can power all of our lights. So he was like, well, you have to talk to my sister. So I spoke to his sister on the phone who actually helped run all the churches in the area. Cause I guess because it's a little ghost town, like mm-hmm. they have somebody, a team of people in charge of like all the churches inside of X miles. So she was like, okay, you just have to come and get the father to sign off.
Okay.
So there's like this great vignette where we're like, okay, what can we say to this Catholic priest? Because obviously if I tell him I'm making a street horror movie
there'll be blood everywhere,
right? Hitchhiker, mm-hmm. I feel like he's going to politely say, no, you can't shoot in the church.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So, like, is it condemned to hell bad of a lie if I say we're making a thriller? Mm-hmm. As opposed to a horror. What if I omit the religious zealot?
Yes.
No,
like,
fine.
If he doesn't ask and I don't say, mm-hmm. is that like burning hell bad? Or is exactly. that just kind of like Hail Mary myself
right.
out of the
situation? Right.
So we ended up going. We have everything on tape. It's all part of. They all signed off. They were perfectly fine. And he was the nicest guy ever. And he was like, it's in a big $2 million pristine giant cathedral. He's like, are you sure you wouldn't want to shoot in here? It's far nicer. And in the back of my head, I'm going, I would love that. But there's like a brutal death scene with blood everywhere.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure. If y'all see it, you're right. gonna be, you right. know, not happy
not
about
right.
it.
Right.
So, and then we decided there was like an abandoned building next to the little church. So that's where we decided we were gonna do most of the blood because we didn't feel mm-hmm. comfortable. You know, I do have a moral line. Shocking. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to get really? Blood all over this little church. I feel like that's a little bit, you know.
They might rebuild one day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But we did like we took like the prayer knee board and we like used it to bash over the actress and accidentally broke it.
Mm.
So we're like, crap, we'll put a donation in the donation box. So we have it so where they like our characters run out and they go to the abandoned building next door mm-hmm. to like have the final death bit, which is mm-hmm. totally makes sense, totally works. But this like abandoned place next door was like the nastiest, most frightening. One of those places like you walk in and you just feel like this weight on your shoulder and you're like, I should not be here. Mm-hmm. And there's like satanic stuff on the walls. And then by fluke, when we were editing the footage for this is one of the earliest episodes when we were editing it, my editor was like, you know what, let me just Google crimes in Cuervo, New Mexico, wherever we were. And, like, he found footage from, like, 4 days before that mirrored our footage of the exact abandoned building. Wow. I guess they just didn't put police tape up because they're like, nobody comes here. It's an abandoned town. Basically, where they thought it was, like, the scene of a heinous crime, like rape or murder or something in that ilk. Like, one of the extremes. One of the real bad ones.
Right.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And it was, like, 3 days before, so we're trying to get permission to use the footage from the news.
Because
it's, like, it's basically the same, like, our initial, like, our viewpoint from walking in with like our behind the scenes camera,
right,
and be like, we should not be here, we're going to die, is almost identical to like the news.
And all these people died.
Expected to happen. We think that it happened here.
Right.
So it was just a ridiculous cross country extravaganza.
Oh my god,
that's
like the ultimate road trip. Right? It's like,
great.
Like she lived like near dark, wrong turn, the hitcher. Like she did all
barely
just trying to make this movie.
Tell everybody the name of the movies again.
We did the first one is Mania, which is a fucked up lesbian love story that I directed, and then Desolation, which I star in, which we'll be doing festival rounds next year.
Okay.
Yep. And then the docu-series right now is titled Kill the Production Assistant or Kill the PA.
Oh, cute.
Oh, that's cute.
Right?
Yes.
We figured, like,
I want to see that one.
Right? Everybody on an indie film is kind of like the PA, which is like the in-joke. You
right, because everybody's helping.
You're like a director slash PA. Yeah.
Right,
you're
right.
The line producer slash PA. Right. Mm-hmm. You're the actor slash PA slash grip gut slash nightmare, you know, whatever it is that you are. So it was just really amazing, but like everything, you know, we weren't supposed to get snow. There's no snow in any of the movies. Suddenly there's a blizzard.
What do you do now?
Christmas movie.
Right? We have to shoot all of our exteriors. We ended up having to shoot the interiors where we were planning and then fake the exteriors in Arizona when it got like warmer because it was just too physically impossible to shoot.
Right.
And like, you know, we couldn't have the actresses running around in skimpy little clothing because it's supposed to be like late summer in our movie in the winter. Well, they wouldn't have, trust me. I mean, you could barely get them to work on a good day. Like, by the way, it's going to be super cold and snowing.
Oh my God.
Run. I mean, I guess you could have just like, you know, shoved them out of the RV and rolled the camera. One of two things is going to happen. You're going to run or stand still.
Yeah.
Right? So it was just like really insane but incredibly awesome.
So here's my question for you, Jessica. Will you do it again?
You know what? That's the $30 million question right now, because we are in talks right now with some places. So I'm not sure who's going to pick it up, if anyone. Because right now it's like some people want to cut it down to like 10 episodes. I'm like, oh, that's such a waste. So there's always a chance that we might just do like one of our independent companies doing it, you know, so that everybody can see it readily available on, you know, all of your digital platforms. So the people who do want to buy it potentially, though, want a guaranteed second season. So it's tricky because like I will do it, but I don't really want to. But it's one of the things where I look back at this time fondly and I'm like, I can't believe I did that. Yeah. I can't believe I survived. I still have a hard time watching the show because I get like PTSD. Aww. And then like the following like week, I'll like wake up in the middle of the night and be like, I'm ready. We can film.
Yeah. Let's go. Action. Exactly.
So it's like one of those things where it's like, I mean, I'll do it.
Right.
But I won't bring back all the same people. I think we do need to try to give it a fighting chance, because like at the end of the day, like there's just some people that you learn when you make movies, like some people can't make films well. Like you could be good at the job, you could be a good actress or a DP or a sound guy, but not be able to do it for 23 days, 12 to 14 hours, you know. And our longest days were we had 4 16-hour days, which I don't consider that especially bad on a 23-day shoot traveling cross-country.
Yeah.
I warned people that we'd have half 16-hour days with 8-hour turnaround.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, low-budget indie, on most of the days, we didn't need all the actors. It was usually one or two, you know, for that entire duration. And then, like, the sound guy and the DP and really the director, that's kind of it. So it's not like, you know, our PAs and our effects are working those hours. But we only had 4, which I thought was pretty respectable, all things considered. Like, most independent films I do, we have more than 4 than 16-hour days. Yeah. We're not traveling cross-country. So, you know, pretty good in my opinion. So I don't, like I said, I will do it. I'm not excited about doing it. I've already told them, I was like, I have to have, the scripts have to fit around my best friend, because I need like my support system. My docu guy, Aaron M. Lane, who's a brilliant human being. I was like, he's a non-negotiable. He has to be involved. Cause that's the other thing is like the people that are talking to us want to do the docu-reality series with, like, more people involved on that end. So, like, keep in mind, for us, we had one man. One man with a camera who just didn't sleep at all. So I was like, that's fine, but we can't omit him. You know, I'm not going to, just because I own it, be like, oh, yeah, we'll bring on a crew. No, he can head the crew.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. And then I'm open to doing either a different country or also reversing the sexes, I think could be really interesting. Oh, okay, yeah. Because we pretty much had female actors and male crew. So I'm wondering if we were to flip it, do the same thing, mm-hmm. 23 days, two movies, and a docuseries, what would it do? Right. So I think that could be interesting. We've been approached possibly to do it in other countries, so like traveling across Canada or the UK or other places.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So exactly. And then there's one network that I won't mention, which wants us to do the other idea that I'd had, which was originally this started with like years ago when I was like, I really want to do a haunted house movie. And that was where I first, not haunted house, a haunted town movie, where I first came up with the idea of like packing people into an RV. I was like, oh, well, we'll just like, you know, go to some random haunted towns with people in an RV. It'll be fine. We'll stay on the RV. Because like obviously a lot of these like abandoned ghost towns that are haunted don't have like, oh, go to the Motel 6.
Right.
It's like 4 hours away. So I pitched an idea. So it's kind of up in the air where they might take it to, where I was like doing two haunted kind of ghost story movies while traveling across America, hitting all these haunted locations. Because there's haunted locations like all over the place. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Which I think also could be really funny because I don't know if you've ever shot in a haunted location, but the shit that goes down when you do, like the last movie I did an ending, the last location that we shot for like a week was supposed to be haunted, and like just the stuff that happens, people seeing stuff, just hilarious from like, I wish there was behind the scenes of it because it was ridiculous. So I might end up doing it, although I'm not exactly excited about it and I don't know if I'll survive.
No, that's
I kind of feel like
I'm
acting face.
No, that's what's up. I told you that was a really interesting story.
Well, see, a lot of my favorite films, the horror films, a lot of them are the indie ones because I feel like when you don't have a large budget, I think what it does, it really limits what you can do, but it also opens up your creativity.
Sure, and you talk about that all the time.
A lot of the classic ones that we talk about that have spawned like all these sequels, they're like these indie films where shit was just going wrong, and but somehow it gelled together and it worked. And I think that type of energy is different when you get a bigger budget picture. Because I'm thinking about, like right now I'm thinking about the films, like for some reason this year, like there's been like a lot of sequels in horror, a lot of like, I don't know, just bad remakes. Like, I just really miss original horror. And I'm really having to go back to my indie folks because that's where the most creative stuff is coming from, the most unique and original. And there's just something about that energy. I don't know. It's just
it's like less people telling you what you
have to. You know?
You know, a bit more daring.
Yeah.
You have the ability to be.
I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Don't like my movie. No skin off my back. I don't have a team of people telling me that I'm never going to make another movie. If you don't like it, fuck it. I've already got 10 in prep.
I know who you've been talking with. I got 10 in prep.
And that's one of the things I like about you in particular, Todd, is that, you know, with All Through the House, I mean, you look at it, it looks like a pretty big budget film. You know, just based on the locations, the way you shot it, the way you use the streets and the whatever.
Christmas decorations.
You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
That little neighborhood where the house was, it felt like you had rights to all that area.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you had
don't
to
block tell
that
them.
Shit off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it felt good. I mean, that little opening scene with Jessica and a little cute little mixed little black, but he was so cute.
Isn't he adorable?
Is he really?
Yes.
So
he's my pride and joy.
He is
the best. Charming joy.
The opening thing, and I ain't going to give it away.
Yeah, he's so cute.
I love that
so cute. Anyway, you have a good death, you know, and it, you know, it's a nice little
vicious
little teaser.
See, only horror people can say that. Like, it was a good death.
It goes to show
it was stylistic,
a staple of the movies. Yep. Getting killed. People ask me all the time, and I'm sure they ask you too, Jessica. Will you kill me? I want to die in one of your movies. It's, yeah.
I'm always like, can you act? Because that's a hard sell.
That's your next question?
Here's the thing. Like, dying on camera is hard. Like, it has to be believable. If you look like you're not really dying and you're supposed to be dying, I'm so out of the movie. You know,
you have to be vulnerable. And a lot of people just don't want to be vulnerable in that situation and really sell the death.
Especially, like, some men have a hard time screaming or, like, if they need to. Some men just can't do it. They can't get to that, like, fearful place, really. So it's tricky, but I agree, the production values of All Through the House is a testament to strong independent filmmaking and people doing it the right way. Like, you don't have to have a ridiculous budget to make a really great movie that's completely top tier quality across the board. you just have to have an original idea. And I think that's like the best thing about where we are in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're finally at a place where technology is helping us fulfill our dreams, not preventing us from doing so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But in All Through the House, one of the things that I liked in the way you did it was, I mean, first of all, your sister stars in it, so we got to give her a shout out.
Yeah, Ashley Mary Nunes.
Yeah, we got to give her a shout out. She's so
and
pretty.
And underline the sister part, because so many people think you're married.
I know, because
really?
Name. Yeah.
Oh,
and because like
really?
They look so cute together, and they don't, you don't really look alike.
Really?
I don't know.
She's like, I thought, she's so pretty. He's like, we don't look alike.
We don't look anything alike.
No, you're good looking, but you're different. You look different. You look like you're, I don't see it. Cause like, and people pointed this out to me. Mm-hmm. That's when they were like, no, Jessica, look at the red carpet picture. Those people don't look like they were from the same parents. And I was like, okay.
No, we are the brother-sister duo.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica dubbed us that. Mm-hmm. And so we ran with it. We like immediately were like, yeah, we like
it. Right. Embrace
something
it.
To promote, to sell.
Right. Fuck mm-hmm. yeah.
Right. Embrace it. But the way that you made that movie in particular, because that's the one thing that I've seen from you that I was just fascinated with, just the way you did it, the way you shot it, even just the opening scene, you know, pulling up on the kids, looking at the snowman and the mask comes off, and it's like all that. I mean, I'm the
Santa.
Santa.
Yeah, Santa.
I mean, everything just in the way you did it, you could see. You could see you still kept it stylized. It felt like an 80s movie, but it was today. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I know that was intentional. Let's talk about that a little
bit. Absolutely.
Well, can you give the listeners so they know, like, just give us, like, the little blurb of what the...
All Through the House?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, All Through the House is a Santa slasher movie inspired by the great 80s slasher flicks of long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like Black Christmas?
A lot of fun. And it's just just Christmas... threw up all mm-hmm. over this movie.
And if you're wondering, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Where can I see that? As a matter of fact, you can watch it right now on all
iTunes, everything. Right?
Yes.
So it's on cable. So if you, you know, if you just mm-hmm. type it in, search all through the house.
Exactly.
And take a little trip back to the
I remember.
Slashers.
I remember back in the day when people like the culture. Aficionados that would like let people know like what true high art and culture was. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 80s that people were offended mm-hmm. when people would make horror movies mm-hmm. about precious holidays. Oh, like really? I remember like
they still are.
Yes.
They
I mean they still get mad. Yeah. But to me it's like that's like the perfect time mm-hmm. to make a horror movie. Mm-hmm. It's like Christmas or like Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Because one, you got family. You know, you've got a group of people that you can kill off.
Yeah. Together.
Yeah. And they may or may not deserve it.
They're preoccupied.
Right. Yeah, there's already tension
they don't
anyway.
Know yeah. that the killer's down the street with the Santa mask and hedge clipper.
There's already tension because, you know, when families get together, like, people always have the, I don't know what families some people have. Some people have happy get togethers, but for me, family gatherings with lots of people,
drama.
They're stressful. Yeah. There's drama, it's mm-hmm. stressful, you know, and you've got to do it. And it's like, that's the perfect place to, like, so some of my favorite horror movies. Or like, you know, Christmas ones where it's mm-hmm. like, oh, or there's a killer Santa. Yeah. Like, how horrific is that?
Yeah.
You know, how horrible is that?
Todd, did you say that it's bringing back, like, when the more filmmakers are starting to do more in the Christmas time? They're starting to make more movies?
Yeah, I think that it's become a boom.
It's starting to trend.
Really, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It started like three years ago. Mm-hmm. It started with, like, Halloween, and then mm-hmm. that kind of trended off into Christmas and mm-hmm. other holidays.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, with all trends, it's going to, unfortunately, come to a pass, but I think that we are at, like, the peak of right now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it just so happens, you know...
And Krampus. Yeah. There's like six or seven Krampus.
Yeah. Yeah. People just suddenly got turned on to that mythology of Krampus. Mm-hmm. It's been here forever.
But I never heard of them until the
story.
But here's
all
the thing.
Of a sudden, Krampus is
there
everywhere.
Was like a couple that were done, and I think because they didn't get, well, probably because of social media and people just didn't know where to find it and get it and have access like mm-hmm. you do now. But I remember a few years ago when I first heard about, like, even I was like, what? There's some fucked up Christmas stuff going on in Europe? Why have I not heard about this? So I remember like 3 years ago, like, looking up stuff, and I'm like, y'all, that's some messed up. Like, so there's like Santa from the good light.
Yes.
And there's like the dark side. Why was I denied this? Yes. Goodness.
Now, what if they're brothers?
Yeah.
Who are their parents?
Who are their parents?
There's so many questions.
You know,
I would like to hang out with them for Christmas dinner. Like,
Well, yeah, it goes back to the Christmas specials on TV where you have the he's Mr. Hot and he's Mr. Snow.
Yeah.
And
he's Mr. Heatmeister.
He's Mr.
I love it.
So there's always sort of been showing that side. I mean, and Christmas comes to life at night, right?
True.
That's when everything happens. That's when the lights come up. That's when, you know, and it's nighttime.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we got to do a horror movie.
Oh, my God.
Of course we do. And you know what? Santa has always had a little issues when I was a kid.
He sees you when you're sleeping.
He breaks into people's houses and has a thing for children. Exactly. I mean, clearly.
But you're told as a kid you're supposed to love him. And so you do. But I always remember sitting on Santa's lap getting ready to take that picture and just a chill. Just the slightest chill, like, is this guy going to choke me out?
Right. He touched you.
Right. No, yeah.
I feel like we would have been forever.
Mama's way over there. Here I am with this strange man that's been watching me sleep at night.
Right.
You know, stab me.
You know? He breaks into houses.
He breaks into your house. Yeah, he doesn't have the decency to come through the front door.
No.
He got to come through the chimney. All right.
You can leave a gift on the front porch. Fucking bag it. It'll be fine.
Exactly. It's like, and how does he do all that? There's just so much about this.
And I love the t-shirt you're wearing right now.
Yeah, this is
with the shears, the bloody shears.
Yeah, he's coming to trim your garden.
He's not.
He's just misunderstood.
Yeah, he's just got some issues.
He's friends with Krampus. They hang out. They're besties.
I love that. Well, I like horror movies that give me something new to look at. I think one of the things that I miss is that element of surprise. When you've been watching horror movies for like many, many years, it's really hard for me, I know personally, it's hard for me to get scared. But when it does happen, it's usually because I'm seeing something I've never seen before, or they're showing me something I had never really thought of, you know, or anything like domestic or where it could be real. Like fantastical stuff, you're kind of safe. Like, oh, that can really happen. Yeah. But the horror, like, you know, the old slashers and all that where, you know what, that shit could really happen. And
it's happened next door.
Yeah. And it's like, those are the type of things that kind of get me. Supernatural things used to get me when I was a kid because the whole religious thing. And, you know, nowadays I'm like, well, Jesus ain't showed up yet. So it's been a minute.
So
I think we good. You know, you can do the exorcist all you want to, but, you know, he ain't really, shit's going down and he hasn't showed up. So I don't know. But I'm just looking forward to, for example, something that's unique that's coming out and I want to see it is the movie called Raw. Where it's basically, and I think I tweeted it, where basically it's a vegetarian who was forced to eat like raw rabbit meat or something like that and turns into a cannibal. Like shit like that. Like that, you know, it could have been, she just goes out becomes a cannibal. But the fact that she was a vegetarian, you're giving me a new angle. Because, you know, a lot of times vegetarians, and I know who you are, and I used to be a vegetarian, I go in and out.
I call them veterinarians.
Because sometimes when you have people who are really precise with their food, they kind of get elitist, where they start telling, oh, you shouldn't eat that. You know, you must go organic, even though organic is fucking expensive.
Feels like that they do that to your face and then go home and like when nobody's looking at you, it's like, I know.
They're eating cow somewhere.
I swear to God, I used to have a vegetarian neighbor whose husband was a hardcore vegetarian and she would hide meat at our house. She had a key to our house. She would hide it in our fridge so that he wouldn't know and find out about it.
So she would come in there and be eating meat all like bloody on her lips.
Yeah, she
and I was like, and it was funny because like I was like, it's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh my God. But you know, it's like that unique, and I want to see that because one is a vegetarian being forced to do something that they normally wouldn't do. And then it goes like crazy. Shit like that. I love. There's the handmaiden.
But let's be honest, I don't care if you're a vegetarian. If you like decide that you're going to eat flesh, you've got other issues. It's you're just saying.
Okay.
It could have been caused for being a vegetarian, right?
Wasn't like she ate and decided to eat. Well, I think I like veal. Like, no, she's ready to eat people now. And that's like a huge leap. Like
big
I said,
jump.
Yeah, there's the handmaiden that the rumor has it that there's octopi and lesbian sex with octopus and our crazy stuff. Really? So I'm looking forward to that. You know? And there's also, of course, the girl with all the gifts, you know, which is basically child zombie. You know, who's sweet, but she has a slight proclivity of one each face if she doesn't take that mask off. Like, if the mask is on, she's a sweet little girl, but as soon as it comes off, she's going to eat you. Like, stuff like that gets me excited.
Did you ever see the black girl? The British one? That's the one?
That's the one, the girl with all the gifts. You know, that's the kind of stuff I like.
Yeah, but I've
you know,
seen it.
You know, or
I've never heard
the trailer
of it.
Looks
amazing.
Is it doing festivals or is it?
I think it's doing festivals right now. I think it's out in the UK. I think September something. Last September is when it opened in the UK, so it should be coming here pretty soon. But there's also Oh, what's the other movie I want to see? There's just a couple of like weird, crazy new stuff that I just really want to check out because they're just bizarre world, and that's what I'm interested in. There's too many things I think now for horror that because it's become a trope and we've seen it before. Like I can't take another vampire movie unless you're doing something really, really, you know. Like I said, zombie movies. I'm kind of tired of zombies, but the girl with all the gifts, that's something unique. Child zombies. Okay, let's get into that. You know,
like something different.
Yeah, just something different, a little unique. And something that's really gonna draw me in. And I don't know. We were talking about when Glenn Mazzara was here, they brought back The Omen. Mm-hmm. They only gave one season. The Exorcist is now on TV. I don't know how that's gonna do. Is it doing well?
Have you seen it? It's great.
I love Gina Davis anyway, so I'm gonna see anything she's in. I'm gonna end up just buying it and watching it and binging it and watching the whole thing. But I just think I wanna see some new, exciting stuff. And the fact that you guys are doing indie things excites me, and I wish more people would take the time to go check it out. Yeah. Like when I told you about the train to Busan, the zombie thing, where it's like you're on a train and zombies are on the train with you, and the train has to keep going because there's other zombies outside. So like I was so there. Like the moment they said it's coming to the theater, I was there, and I was mad because nobody else went and saw it. I was trying to tell people go see that shit, and then it was gone from the theaters and people were mad.
Came and went so fast.
It's so good. And it's like I want that excitement in my horror. I want indie filmmakers to come back out. And since you're from Canada, Jessica, can I just give a shout out to the man who, cuz I think isn't it in Canada that the government helps subsidize some of the films or something, or they used to.
They used to do big. We still do have really good tax incentives,
right.
But again, I think it's out. You know, it's usually on the higher end of what most of us consider independent,
right?
So they're still really, you know, as supportive as they can. But like back in the day, they used to fully fund my knowledge.
That's what we got. Like, in the 70s and 80s,
like the king of Canadian horror, Cronenberg. Look at the drive-in. When Slither, also known as, they came from within, like, that shit was like, I wasn't seeing anything like that in American horror films. Like, when you got stuff coming out of people's mouth, where it was like the first AIDS movie, where it was like a sexually transmitted disease, but it was like this worm going to people's mouths, and God forbid, Mom, she took me there, I think I was like 7 when I saw it, and I was like in love. Like, those are those horror movies that cemented me, which when it was like gory, nasty, and just out of the, not the Frankensteins, not the wolf, you know, Wolfman. To me, that was like cute horror. That's like cute, oh, that's like your little baby horror. But when you get these indie, and especially foreign films, and I wish, you guys have to get like this now. I wish a lot of my American independent horror filmmakers would just be as absurd and crazy like foreign independent horror is. You know, like, please don't play it safe. Just give me the most fucked up shit you can think of.
So you should
film that.
That's everything I do.
Yes, and I will so be there because I almost feel like that. People, I tell it all the time to our audience, you got to embrace your dark side. The dark side is a good thing, people. Yes. It helps save your life. It helps you really get in touch with who your inner self is.
Well, here's the thing. See, I don't know if you, I think I told you this. Lisa and I believe that parents should teach kids to watch horror movies.
Don't teach them. Sit them in front of the TV.
Show them. They should be watching them because we got to watch them. We had our parents love horror movies, so we got to watch them when we were kids. And I think it teaches you a bunch of things. It teaches you about fear. Mm-hmm. It teaches you about street smarts.
Don't
you know, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, if you're walking down the street by yourself, look over your shoulder. It teaches you a lot of, you know, if somebody's following you, you know, this teaches you a lot of little, you know, tricks. And, you know, if somebody is chasing you, how to get away, smart, use anything in the room to fucking kill them back.
Yeah.
You and know, trust your gut.
Like,
like someone over here who went in her RV and saw a sign that said no trespassing in the middle of nowhere and the doors open and said, we're going to go in there.
Exactly.
Okay.
I felt
our budget says go.
But your gut said, you know what? I think it's pretty safe. I think we can handle this. We're good.
Well, I mean, what my gut, keep in mind, I also was with like a bunch of big crew guys, and I was like, you guys first.
Yeah. But then that could have totally turned into Race with the Devil real quick. Y'all in the RV, it's like, y'all could have came across something like, ooh, everybody get in the RV. Let's go.
I feel like you're assuming we did not.
Oh, did it happen? Okay, never mind.
Speaking of new, let's talk about your new project you're working on.
Ah, yes, Death Ward 13, the remake of Don't Look in the Basement. Totally, totally excited.
I love titles like that. Like, they straight tell you, like, look, bitch, don't look in the basement.
It's not going to be good.
And you see that, and you're like, somebody going to look in the basement.
And You're waiting for that, right?
Exactly. The blonde one after
okay.
she has sex.
Here's my $10. Yeah. Let me go see what's in the basement.
Yeah. And that's really important, too, because the title, when the movie came out, they went through a bunch of different titles, and they ended up with that title, which is a great title for the time, but there was nothing in the basement.
Yeah.
There were none in the basement.
I would have been sitting there like in the Godzilla movie, like, this is some bullshit.
Who came up with this good ass title and didn't even use it?
There were none in it. So we do answer that.
Right.
We do answer the call to that. Mm-hmm. The basement plays a big part in the.
What's the premise of your movie this time?
It is about four. Nubile intern in 1972 who come to
oh my god, you're set in 1972?
Yeah, isn't that fun? And they come to an insane asylum to help care for the last remaining patients because they're moving everybody out of this old gothic asylum into the world of people. So there's only a handful of patients left. The only thing that they don't know is that they've killed the hospital staff and taken over the place. Yeah, so they are locked inside with a crew of vicious lunatics. And
some Rob Zombie type of shit.
This doesn't sound like it's going to end well for some folks.
Somebody ain't going to make it. That's all I'm saying. Look.
You in danger, girl.
You in danger, girl.
Exactly.
I love that idea. I'm working on a script right now, which is based on my real life adventures with my hippie friends that I work with, where we go hiking, we do a lot of canoeing and stuff, and it's going to be set on the Appalachian Trail because a lot of my friends are hikers, and there's been some horrific things that have happened on the Appalachian Trail. But one of my characters is going to be black.
Really?
So that's going to change the dynamic.
One of them.
Because I hike and I do stuff, and I've never seen movies because I'm like, I need to have that realness because people. A good horror movie is when you have your people do stuff that normal people would do to try to get out of trouble, and then shit doesn't work. That's the best horror. Uh-huh. Yes. Not, I'm going to go in the basement and look because they told me not to go in there. No, shit was like,
yeah, you fucking go out the window.
Right. Like, you know what, we're going to go through the window, and then something happens. It's like, well, damn, I would have went through the window. Well, shit, they messed up now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that feel from all the stories I've heard. Like, I've had incidents where I've gone camping, like in the middle of the Colorado River, where literally we're on the canoe, and we have to bring all of our gear. We land on a little spot that we always go to. There's no way to get in there unless you're hiking miles away. One night we was down there. We always bring the wood. And then we have campfires. You know, we bring our liquor. We have our iPod wrapped in plastic. So we have a good time. We spend the night there. There's like a hot springs. Like the only light is our flashlights and the fire. And it's just us. There's like usually 20 of us. So look. So listen to this, y'all. So like 1 o'clock in the morning, right? I'm smoking my cigar.
She whispered it.
I'm trying to tell y'all how fucked up this shit was and why it's going into the script. So I'm smoking my good Cuban cigar, one of the few I had left. Good liquor. Good cognac. I had the good yak.
Liquor.
The high shelf yak. All right? Because when I go camping, we go quality camping. You know, you can bring your water if you want to.
Okay? Quality camping.
You bring your water if you want to, you know. But I had some yak. And all of a sudden, we were sitting around the campfire, you know, making our food, drinking, carrying on, and just being ourselves. And all of a sudden, in the middle, like in the back part where you hike out, there's like rocks and stuff. Like, these three dudes walked through. And came through and was like, hey, we were hiking and we ran out of food and water. Now, mind you, in the middle 20 of us that are hiking, two of us are black. Okay? My white friends, God bless them, they were like,
here's some food.
Oh my God, well, here, come get some potatoes.
Were you like, and I'm black, water. I die first. Like, no, I'm fuck up. Here.
Look. And in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, hey, motherfucker, that's my potato. You brought that shit. I canoed 10 miles on a river. Okay? Carried the canoe on my back. Dropped in the water. I carried, and y'all give him the good. And I sat there like, Lisa, just be nice, be polite. And then, of course, the hard Lisa kicked in because all my friends are like, oh, that's so terrible. I'm thinking, first of all, bitch, in order to hike down here, you have to have been here for a while. That's not like we just walked through the thing. Like, that's like they, no. And I'm like, they done did some shit, and they are hiding out. Because there's no way you can just walk. Because nobody leave no gear. You don't go hiking somewhere without shit. I'm like, so this is Lisa sitting at the campfire, my cigar, looking at him like, so y'all didn't bring no water or no tent shit? And
she's like wandering through the woods for 40 fucking miles.
So needless to say, I didn't sleep that night because they had them, you know, they had to sleep somewhere else. And this is one of those places where there's no toilets, so you have to dig out your own stuff. Hilliard, stop it. Stop being pissy over there.
He's lying.
So you wouldn't even glance.
You have to be like, you know, 200 feet away from the water source and go to the bathroom. So you have to get your little trowel and get up and go with your flashlight and go do your business and stuff. Needless to say, I just dug a hole right by my tent. And I was on, I was the sentinel for the night, like, this is some bullshit. Yeah. You don't have that. And, of course, there's another time when my friends were hiking where some random people just showed up out of nowhere with no stuff and was kind of following them on their Appalachian Trail. So I'm riding my little slasher horror Appalachian Trail thing with a black character who's going to do the shit that I do when stuff like this comes up, and then it's still going to go horribly wrong.
Okay,
but the thing about that is, and I'm
questioning you. But what did you do? Did anything bad happen?
I'll put it this way. Because I was the sentinel. And I stayed up all night, and I looked, nothing went down, because there was the potential, because it was just like weird, it just they just gave off a weird vibe, and nobody else there was like picking up on it, and I'm just thinking, you don't hike without water, you don't do this, like they're just, their story's not
enough. Did they have any gear, or were
they
just like wandering?
See, one of them, look, part. One of these motherfuckers, look,
running out of
one,
water.
One of these mofos had on flip flops. You don't hike in flip flops. And so, mind you, I'm sitting next to my boss, who's like, my, you know, he was my canoe partner, you know, because it's like when stuff goes down, he knows how to save me. I mean, I can swim and do everything, but he's the one that doesn't do stupid stuff like, oh, I'm just going to drop off into whenever canoes fell over and we have to rescue some people. So I'm sitting there looking at him like, dude. And of course, hey, Steve White, how you doing? Steve was like, oh, we got to be, you know, because people, sometimes when you're on these things happen, you have to help people. And I said, you know what? That works for white people. But for a black person who watches horror movies, I said, dude, this is not cool. Like, these people who walked up on, first, they came up on us. If they was here this whole time talking about they was back there, we was here 12 noon. They could have came in daylight. No, they wait in the middle of the night to kind of walk through here. They was about to do some shit. And so I'm telling him, he's like,
Kendra, they were going to do something, or their
stuff got messed up, and they're going to try to take some stuff. And I remember trying to explain to him. And the thing he said to me was, you watch too many horror movies. And then the next
None of you got robbed that night. Yeah. I would like to point it out.
There was some sketchy stuff that might, there was the pinch of something, someone thought something that they had was missing, but they kind of might have misplaced it. Mm-hmm. So there was like this question, and then they disappeared. It wasn't like they stayed. Like, they disappear in the night. They're like, oh, we'll just stay here and then, you know, till daylight because we're trying to figure out, you know, whatever. And if you guys can tell the people, like, they disappear in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were kind of, you know, it was just sketchy. Because I'm thinking,
you show up in flip-flops in the middle of the fucking woods.
Now, mind you, there's only river water. There's the Colorado River. There's just the and we have canoes that only fit two people. So it wasn't like they was going to hop on the canoe with us and get saved. It was like, no. So I stayed up all night. And that kind of horrific thing, I felt like because I was one of the ones that wanted to stay up and just kind of like sit there and watch stuff, nothing would have happened. But there's that sketchiness. So horror made me think and made me question what was going on. And then, of course, you know, later when we got back, my boss was like, yeah, maybe next time we shouldn't have been a little too friendly. I'm like, of course. We should have been fucking too friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, also, like, here, I'm a big believer of, like, 1 + 1 has to equal 2.
Right.
If it does not, you need to have your guard up. So, again, if they had been dressed in their camping gear, if they had their tent and maybe lost their water, or maybe then, if you have your stuff, I could see how you could get lost and run out of food.
That would have been
normal. But you don't lose your tent and your gear
or at least a sleeping bag or something.
Flip-flops.
Yeah. And it was like they had nothing on them. And so when we left, I was like, I said, look, the most I can do for y'all is that when we get back down, I can call somebody when I get cell service. Like, we had no cell service. Like, if something was to happen, no one would know about it. There would just be a bunch of canoes, like, you know, 25 canoes with blood dripping and bodies floating in the water. And my ass would be the only one because I would have hit out in the hot spring. Like, these bitches ain't not going to get me, you know. But it was like that tension was like my thoughts were running through. And it was like the normal thoughts you would think in real life, too. But it was like, I've seen too many sketchy movies. The Hills Have Eyes. Mm-hmm. Your story's not adding up.
Yeah, and I
was just shocked that nobody else, except for me and the other black dude, was like,
that's how people die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how
they wonder why white people are,
you know,
make the choices they do in horror,
you know,
movies.
So I have to do my Appalachian Trail. Maybe I'll call it Appalachian Trail, the horror thriller slasher thing, where it's like so many horrific things I've been studying about the Appalachian Trail.
Where is the Appalachian Trail?
Oh my God, it's like a big, oh my God. There's like the PC, the Pacific Trail. The Appalachian Trail starts from Georgia, and it goes all the way up through like the northeast
Oh, it's way up there.
It's a long trail. You know, it's like maybe 2,500 miles or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people walk it, the whole thing. Some people do increments.
But nobody doesn't flip-flops. Let's just
You're not supposed to. I mean, you have to carry, like, when you, this is the hardcore people. You've never done this before. Like, you have to carry all your shit, your water. Mm-hmm. Like, you cannot, if you, for late, I know this will sound gross, but just it's just historic stuff. Like, if you have your menstrual cycle, you can't bury anything. You have to take that stuff with you.
Why?
Because there's bears and stuff and animals, and they're triggered, and they will follow you, and they will kill you.
Oh, really?
Yes. So all your trash, anything that you have, you have to put in a plastic and take it with you. That means you got to carry that extra weight with you.
Oh, I didn't know.
You know, and it's like there's no, like your cell phone don't work. You can go parts of the trail where you can hit certain towns and come in to regroup, do stuff, get some mail, have people send you stuff. Then you can get back on it. But there are periods where people have gotten disoriented. There's been people who have come on the trail and murdered people. Mm-hmm. They have like these little shelters on the side. Yes. Yeah. So I thought to myself, I know there's been like slasher movies in the woods, but it's like I kind of want to do like an ode to hiking, my hiking stuff in a horror sense, but have one black character who's the voice of reason to tell people, like, that's not cool, but then still have bad shit happen. So when we're talking about horror and making good stuff, what is it that scares you guys? So as independent horror good movie question. People, now, I mean, since you guys have probably watched horror, you're like me. You're kind of, you might be jaded in terms of what scares you, like, what you've seen. Like, what, if there was a movie that's to come out, what would you want to see that would get you, like, ugh?
Well, for me, it always has to be grounded in truth and reality because I have to connect with it and I have to feel like you're saying, like that could actually happen to me. If I don't, then automatically it feels like I'm watching a movie rather than experiencing it. So I always, like my first film is a graphic torture film and people sometimes compare it to Saw, but to me the biggest difference, aside from the fact that James Wan is amazingly talented and brilliant, is that Saw to me always has sort of this comfortable level of unbelievability. Because I don't really believe a millionaire has dedicated his life and all this money into creating a warehouse and fine-tuning these contraptions, having them specially made, soldering these big, detailed, elaborate traps to, like, get you to have an epiphany.
Right.
I don't believe that's
likely. That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Okay,
yeah.
I don't believe that's okay. Likely one the level. Case.
Right. Do I believe, like, there could be a whack job who's, like, a crazy super fan that'll hold you hostage and, like, threaten to shoot you in the head unless you play this twisted game with a, you know, a knife and random tools you could actually I could go in and buy today. That fucking that happened. And I would be the unfortunate person who would find myself in that predicament.
Unless I'm with you and I'd be like, girl, this man, he look, he wearing flip flops. And he just came out. Jessica, we not hanging with this dude. Jessica, get in the RV. Damn it, get in the RV, Jessica.
Well, in this one he breaks in, right? And you do what he says at first because he's got the gun.
Right.
You know, we live in a society where fight or flight, like the majority of people, you know, don't, will not go up against a man with a gun if they feel they could survive.
Right.
Like, they'll just take it. We all want to believe, like, that, you know, our friend would stand up for us, but the reality, and statistically, they often don't. They just sit back and be like, oh, man, I hope he doesn't do that.
Right.
That would suck for you.
I hope you're okay.
My hands are up on the
I'm not even looking at you.
Like, if a guy's pointing a gun at you, you're going to do what he says. So for me, it's that element of realism, that truth, which I think is great too, because it really works well for independent films. Because again, I also don't have $1 million to make ridiculous contraptions to do a Saw type film about a billionaire that invests all this money into, you know, forcing people to have epiphanies.
Interesting. What about you?
Well, for me, I think for me, like we were talking about this, the scariest thing is the guy next door. Like ghost stories and some of them, like you, like Conjuring, all that stuff was, you know, it's fun, but man. Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. Now that is scary.
And that's, these y'all haven't seen that. Go see that.
All the time.
Really?
You know, I could watch Halloween over and over and over again hundreds of times, you know, because it's there's like that element that, you know, sure, there's no real Michael Myers in that sense, but there's a Henry.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
And that stuff is scary.
Right. Okay.
That stuff I can't get in it for too long.
Right.
But it is fun when it gets you. And you are immersed and you are affected. And that reminds me of when I was a kid. And I did see Halloween. And it did affect me. And it affected me so much it changed my life.
Well, let me ask you this. Because it reminds me. We always talk about how like the 70s, in our opinion, had like the best horror movies, right? I mean the 80s too. But the 70s to me, I wonder if it's because we were in the time when we had Sasquatch, and we had
the Sasquatch, you know what I mean?
There
man.
Were so many Ooh, different
Foggy Creek,
everybody
right?
everybody was remember
Loch Ness here's the monster, thing though, yeah.
We had Loch Ness, everybody was hitchhiking back then, everybody had a German Shepherd. It was like a different time mm-hmm. when we lived. Everybody had the Z van or whatever mm-hmm. the fuck it was, you know, or a station wagon.
Right. Yeah.
It was like a different time, and there was no cell phones, of course. Oh. So the element of getting away from things was less easy to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard and complicated to make a movie now, mm-hmm. you know, which is why sometimes you'll make a movie and it takes place in the past.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right. Because yeah. I don't have to worry about the cell phones.
You don't have
right.
to worry about.
Right, right.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about your characters getting away
right.
or finding ways to escape.
Right.
You know,
well, but also, like, as somebody who's traveled across the country, let me mm-hmm. assure you, there's so many places with a shitty, shitty cell service.
yeah. yeah.
I know, like, sometimes, like, in LA, we take for granted. We're yeah. like, everywhere has no.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah you just have true. To own that
yeah.
in a movie today with cell service and.
But what I was also thinking about when you were just talking, you reminded me of like Jim Jones.
Oh God, yeah.
Like stuff like
That's
that scares
scary,
me,
right?
Yes.
Oh, I had nightmares about yes. Jim Jones.
Yes. Oh, and then of course, you know, Helter Skelter,
Helter
all
Skelter,
that stuff.
Yeah.
That was the shit that freaked me
well,
out.
Well, the thing
the most.
I was a kid too, was when the Atlanta child murders were going uh-huh. on. Mm-hmm. Because even yeah. though it was happening in Atlanta, mm-hmm. it was like every child everywhere else was like, there's just somebody and no one could solve it. You know, yeah. and it was just like this random someone is mm-hmm. taking children. And it was like the boogeyman come to life.
That
it
is.
Was like Like,
children,
oh my God.
That's,
yes. You know?
That's
there was
terrifying.
Just so yes. much crazy stuff that was happening, you know? And I don't know. Maybe, you know, a lot of the good horror, and a lot of times when I read, like, film criticism or film theory, a lot of them talk about it's because we were going to the war. We were dealing with a lot of issues politically in our country. And so a lot of that's filtered through our horror movies. And usually when there's something crazy going on, and aren't especially in the United States, that's when horror movies tend to come out more.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, right now with this whole election, the surreal. I don't even want to call it election, just this weird predicament we're in
in America.
It's a strange predicament we're in this election cycle. I expect now with all the horrors, all the things that people are talking about, I expect some really good horror movies to start to come out of this time period because there's just so much uncertainty, mm-hmm. you know, where the world is. And there's nothing more scary than uncertainty in your real life.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to filter out and channel somewhere. And I think that's where horror plays a really important part. So that's why you need to respect horror people.
Yeah.
It helps you cope with shit.
Also because we know how to kill you and hide the body.
And yes.
Yeah.
We know how to get out of the predicament. We're not going to freak out. Like, do we need to kill this person? All right. So, okay, hold on. Let me Google some places we can hide the body.
Exactly.
Yeah. But we also don't really have, like, the serial killers that we used to. It's harder to get away with being a serial killer today.
Yeah. Right.
I disagree. I think they're just not advertising it as much.
You don't think they're as advertising? Mm-hmm. Well,
and
you think that it's moved on to spree killing?
No, I think that our – but I also think that our police force saying this and I just don't give a fuck. I feel like they spend less time wanting to do paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
wanting to do
sense.
All the things. Like there's I feel like today more so than when I was
cops
a kid,
are lazier.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of paper. It's just
it's another serial killer.
No, it's like
it's more paperwork.
You know, are you sure you saw somebody? Go
yeah, yeah. If you see him again, can you let me know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, there definitely are people going missing. We're just not caring as much.
Hmm.
And which is kind of sad because when you think about it, if technology can be such a huge asset in finding pets and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we seeing more of this stuff online? Right. We're not.
But they could solve a whole crime from a pubic hair now.
Yeah,
but they're not.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
They're not.
Do you think it's because it's happening so frequently now that we've kind of become numb to it? Because I know, I have to admit, there are certain times like now if I'm on social media and someone across my timeline has like, oh, help, we're missing this person, what have you. There's so many now, and it's like, all right, let me retweet this. And it's like, oh, but now it's like, but before I'd be like, oh, my God, that's horrible. Now it's like it occurs so much.
It's kind of like,
it's
like when
oh
you get
God.
The notification from your friends going, hey, I'm doing a Kickstarter.
I know. I didn't see it.
That's another one.
Exactly.
That's it.
I get like 19 of them a week or something.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it's
dude.
Like, you almost get kind of numb to it, which is sad. But it's like, you know, that's real life. It's like this happening so much that it's almost like now, like when really crazy shit happens with like spree killings and all that, like my first reaction is like, wow, that's horrible. But it's not like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. It's more like, well, that's America.
Right.
Yeah.
Also,
we got
like,
guns.
Like, I don't know about you, but I've noticed like they'll catch the, like, well, we finally got that guy. We think he did like 22 murders. I was like, but wait,
22?
Wait, why didn't you, where was the press about number 18, like 17? Yes. Like, I don't hear about it until you catch the guy because he makes a rookie mistake. And then you're like, oh, by the way, he's, like, responsible. Or, like, I know, like, there was, like, that one that was somewhere up along the coastline. I'm not sure if it was Seattle or Vancouver. Anyway, somewhere up over there. Like, oh, yeah, he had been, like, burying bodies in his backyard for, like, years. I was like, what?
Yeah. And
why are you just hearing about this now?
Like, none of the neighbors look and say, hey, Joe,
you don't smell
your parents.
What's that? And so, like, because I started looking into it because I find it fascinating. There was actually, because I lived in Ohio for years, and there's, like, a small town in Ohio where every 3 to 4 years a young girl, she's usually in the age range, I believe it was 17 to 21, goes missing.
Oh, that's sacrifice to keep the town alive. Right. That's easily solved. You got to keep going. You got to give the blood. You got to give the blood every couple of years.
Every 3 to 4 years, and it's been going on for decades, and nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. And then what I learned when I, like, right? So I looked into this. I was like, why is nobody doing this? So they've never really, again, they don't really advertise this. They don't really do anything. It's usually, like, the same MO. She's out with friends, has a couple drinks. She doesn't make it home. But then the creepy part was, like, the more I talked to people, because I was like, did you hear about that? Like, why is this not, like, a thing? Like, I feel like we should be like, there's clearly something going on.
Right.
You know, like, how am I the only person to be like, this is some fucked up shit? And what I found was that there were several other similar towns and similar places at the same kind of thing, where it's like, they have, like, a thing that happened, you know, and nobody just, you know, oh, well, we lost them. You did not lose
her. Yeah.
Like, I lost my purse in my apartment.
Right.
You did not. He was here and something happened.
Right.
Because he's gone.
Clearly, they were going to come back home. Yeah. Clearly. Yes. It wasn't like they said, we're leaving, we're out, we ain't come back. It was like she went and then
disappeared. Yeah. She didn't take, like, come on now. Right. Like, shit went down. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, well.
I don't
lost another one.
Yeah.
So, like, but it was shocking and disturbing to realize, like, again, like, this is kind of going on, and we're just not, we don't really talk about it. We don't really see it in the news that much.
Right.
And why is that?
I don't know, right?
I mean, because the media used to thrive on give him a name.
Right, right.
You'll give him a story.
Right.
Because he's going to do it again. We got something else to talk about.
Like, I can't remember the last time election, I saw a missing child report. But if you Google missing children, there's so many of them.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
But we don't see, again, that's but terrifying. When do you see it? Mm-hmm. I don't watch the news that often, but every time I do, I don't see that either.
In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real. In the red room, all about the crap of screenwriting, fill my bottle up with lightning, up in the red room. Before the stars can be paid, there gotta be a dope-ass story on the page. Let the beast about the cage, that light about the dark, can you build the inferno from an itty-bitty spark? Coffee shop hustlers, rise with the cream, a million other writers name Hollywood dream. Your pen and paper all like bullets in the gun. Write what you feel, say what you want. In the red room, we say what we say, we do what we feel, we gotta keep it real. In the red room, all about the crap of screenwriting, fill my bottle up with lightning, up in the red room.
So look, if you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get in.